Welcome to Recipe Club, the podcast where we debate the best way to cook the things you want to eat. My name is Chris Ying. Today, the role of David Chang will be played by none other than Rachel Kong.
Ooh, I'm Dave. I hate everything.
Wow, is that actually Dave? I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
It's like being in the same room.
It's like uncanny.
Also joining us is America's favorite wedgie, John DeBerry. Hi, John.
Hi.
Oh, I forgot to read our new tagline. We have a new tagline.
Mm.
This is Recipe Club, the only show where you, the listener, submits a recipe so that three of America's most ethnically diverse cooks can test it out and mess it up. So the way this works on Recipe Club, if this is your first episode, we have a theme ingredient. And we put out the call to you, our listeners, our fans, our loyal friends, to send in your recipes that then we then cook and then push into three crazy different directions. This week, John DeBerry chose the theme ingredient, which was watermelon. Before we start talking about our featured ingredient, we were talking a little bit just before we started recording here. Rachel at the astrology desk has something to report.
I'm not at the astrology desk, but we were having technical difficulties. That's why Chris has one ear open so he can hear me.
I can't hear Rachel, who's sitting next to me, through the headphones, so I'm just listening.
So I was blaming, which, as you do, I was blaming Mercury in retrograde, which just began recently.
Who among us can explain what that means?
John?
Because of the way that the orbits work, is that there's a point in the orbits where it looks like Mercury is going backwards. And it's just that. Like, it's just basically because our Mercury and Earth are rotating at, or are orbiting at different speeds and different distances, obviously. There's a point in our orbits where it looks like kind of Mercury like backs up and then goes back around. So that's it.
And Mercury,
and it's like always in retrograde. And every time anybody has anything going wrong with them, and they're like, "Oh, it's Mercury in retrograde," and it's like, maybe look at your own life.
Whose life is to blame here?
I'm thinking this specific instance, but just
okay.
General.
So it sounds like, I mean, just take a look at your own life. It's not the stars' fault. What else has been happening, John? We all noticed that last week you hosted a 90s and 2000s trivia night somewhere?
Yeah, well, actually, you're correct, but I hosted one, a 90s trivia night with my very good friend Young Lee Mayer back in June. That was a book promo thing for Saved by the Bellini, and then we were asked back by the owners of the bar in Parkside Lounge in New York City to do another one, and we thought that would be cute to do the next decade. So actually, I don't know when this episode's coming out, but probably by the episode coming out, this will already have happened, but we're doing a 2000s trivia night next week. So
hit us with some.
Yeah, I want to
hear what do you got? Give us a couple of questions. Rachel and I are trivia junkies.
Oh, gosh. Let me pull up the Google Doc.
As you pull up your Google Doc with your questions, young Gabby Marler, our producer, who I don't think was born in the 90s.
Has ever been born.
Or the 2000s. Have you even been born yet, Gabby? Are you?
2000 baby.
She's a 2000 baby. She produced a question for us. What 1990s fashion trend involved wearing one's clothes backwards?
What?
Anybody?
There's a word that I want to say, but I'm not going to say it.
It says here, cross colors.
Oh, I
with
K's.
Why did I let somebody who was born in 2000 write the 90s trivia question? This is insane. This is my fault.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
John, do you have some trivia for us ready?
What is Lady Gaga's real name?
Oh.
Ooh,
I feel like I know this. It's like...
Her name.
It's like something like Artemisia. It's not
is
that.
Artemisia. P.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Like she has, yeah. She's like Italian.
It's just like Gianluigi Venizio.
Yes, yeah. That's actually it.
Again, not to be total.
Final answer, Gianluigi Venizio.
Oh, Stefani or something?
Yes. Stephanie Germanata.
Close to Artemisia Giamatti.
It's pretty. Yeah, you were there. You were basically there.
I think Gianluigi Venizio was pretty close. So, Rachel,
yeah,
how you been doing? How's month one of LA life? You brought a literal hurricane with you.
I know. I'm so sorry.
To Southern California.
And an earthquake. Yeah. It's been good. My persimmons are enlargening. We have two avocado trees, not to brag, but we do.
Ugh.
But we have this like super aggressive squirrel that I think knows exactly what it's doing. Every day it leaves us an avocado like on our stoop with like nibble marks in it, and it's like slightly larger each day. Like it's like just intercepting all the avocados before we can harvest like a real. I mean, they're not of size,
but it's
yet.
Just eating a little bite and sending you a message.
Yeah, sending me a message.
It's just like pissing on your doorstep.
But also, we're watching Alone for the first time. So recently, I broached the idea that we might snare a squirrel.
You're gonna do a little snare trapping. Okay, I think that might be illegal.
It might be illegal. Also, I don't want to handle the body.
Yeah, that's a problem for a lot of us.
But there's avocados. It's a dilemma. Yeah,
that's horrible. That's what you've engaged in a turf war with a squirrel. You never want to engage in one of those. You'll lose that every time.
Yeah. How about you, Chris?
How am I doing?
Yeah,
I feel okay. I've been pretty busy. I haven't been appearing on the Dave Chang show quite as much because they've locked me in a tower where I just churn out creative materials like some sort of human AI basically. I'll give you a little update, a cooking update, since we're a recipe show and we haven't talked about anything related to food yet.
Avocados and squirrels are both food.
Excuse me. Yes, we have been talking about squirrels. Next season, squirrel will be a theme ingredient. I did make a dream come true for myself yesterday. So we have this show. By the way, I should mention right at the top of this that we have started putting up the videos from this season on our YouTube channel. The first one went up, I guess, whenever this comes out, a couple weeks ago with John DeBerry. We did the cocktail weenies and barbecue sauce, and that's all on YouTube now. You can also, if you have an LG TV, watch all of these things on channel 101 of your smart LG TV. Anyway, I've been shooting this show called Ying Cooks the Internet, where I just cook things that my Gen Z producer Gabby sends me from TikTok. John has appeared on this show.
Oh, wow.
We made a Borg together.
Yeah, we did too.
A blackout rage gallon.
What's that?
It's a blackout rage gallon. It's, I guess, what the kids are drinking.
A gallon?
John, do you want to describe it?
Yeah. So basically you take one of those like gallon jugs of like Poland Spring or Crystal Geyser or whatever, and you empty out some of it. You like drink half of it and then you pour like drink mix, those like water enhancer powders and like liquid things. And then you add like, I think, did we do vodka or did we do rum? I think we did both.
We did vodka. We had vodka.
Okay. Yeah. I remember that. Basically you have this like portable jug of like a gallon of, I guess it's technically a cocktail, And it's apparently all the rage on college campuses. But when I actually did the math, like it really isn't that strong. So like it's almost kind of genius, because if you're like, let's say like tailgating, or you're like doing some college activity and you're day drinking, you could kind of sip on it all day and you probably would be like, okay, instead of like doing shots or like drinking like a full blown cocktail.
The idea is like you are simultaneously drinking half a bottle of vodka while you're hydrating.
Oh, yeah. So it is like for health.
It's a health craze. It's the new health craze. But anyway, that was yesterday. We're gonna move on. We're deep into this podcast. I have not talked about watermelon at all. The dream that I made come true for myself. I have for many years wanted to make this thing, but there was no reason to until internet meme culture, TikTok became a thing. I've always thought to myself, what would be the best possible topping for a pizza? And you would think, okay, well, what are people's favorite foods? Like those, that would make the best topping. So I think this is the general logic. People love pepperoni and sausage and onions and watermelon, whatever. This is how you get things like tandoori chicken pizza, which, you know, has been around for a while. I love that. But when you really think about it, the thing that people in this world love to eat the most, it is
fried
pizza.
Chicken. Oh,
pizza. Pizza is the favorite food of humans. I wanted to make a pizza topped pizza. And this is a thing that some people have done in some iteration, but they always look ugly because it just looks like pizza on pizza. And it's not that impressive, or a double layer pizza. I took a pizza crust.
Pizza's all the way down.
Did pizza's all the way down. Sauce, cheese, and then to replicate the appearance of little circular pepperonis all over my pizza, little bagel bite pizzas as my topping for pizza. So that was a huge success in my cooking life recently. So that's what I've been up to. That's what I've been doing.
I like that, but I feel like, and you thought it was good.
It just tastes like pizza.
The thing is, like, you know, like when you have a Big Mac, I don't like that middle piece of bread. So I feel like that's a similar.
Well, what we're getting here is the contrast of bagel with pizza crust. No, it's all just pizza. It's all just pizza. But I'm not done playing with this thing. So anyway, we have not gathered the recipe club today to discuss Mercury's retrograde or crisscross colors or Gianluigi Venizio's musical career. We're here to talk about watermelon. And if you do a search for watermelon recipes on Google or Bing or whoever wants to sponsor us, you get 191 million results, which I think is actually quite a few results for something that I think most people don't really cook with or like prepare in any other way than just gobbling it up on a stoop. China is the number one producer of watermelon in the world. And I have a note here that says there are 300 different varieties of watermelon in the United States. John, you chose watermelon.
Yes.
Are you familiar with these 300 different varieties?
No, actually, I'm not. I mean, I know there's a whole different kind. There's like the yellow, and I've seen the original, like, you know, kind of ancestral heirloom version of it that had all the swirlies in it and all the seeds. But I feel like these days, like in New York City, you just like get, there's just like one watermelon and that's just like it. Although picking, I don't know how to pick watermelon. I'm still bad at it. I still think I have some sort of like, oh, it's if it's like oblong, or I know the contrast. If you have like a light spot, then it's like, and dark skin, then that's like good. But like, I just feel like it's just a gamble. And that's kind of part of why I like it. It's like that sort of like inconsistent reward is like, it's always like a little bit of like uncertainty. And it's like, so when it's good, it's really good. And then you just keep chasing that high if you don't get the good one. I love watermelon so much. I've memorized like the PLU number for it. One number in every grocery store for watermelon. It's 4-4-0.
What is it?
40-32.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Actually, came in handy.
Oh, that's my pant size, everybody.
40-32. I was at a wedding in upstate, and like my friends and I all went to the grocery store to get like food for our house, and like the watermelon that we got like didn't have a sticker on it, and everyone was like, oh man, we gotta find this. And I'm like, no, actually,
your moment.
Like, it was like the culmination of my life. It was a triumph.
Wow,
I'll never forget that moment.
I love this.
So cool.
Yeah, you were on a plane. Somebody collapsed. The flight attendants walked down. We're like, does anybody know the PLU number for a watermelon?
That's my dream. That's my pizza bagel pizza.
Wow.
Rachel, it sounded like you were a little surprised that John characterized himself as not good at picking a watermelon. How do you fancy yourself as a watermelon picker?
Well, I'm also not good, but it's not my favorite food.
True.
So you're saying if you were John DeBerry and you were out there declaring that watermelon was your favorite food, you sure as hell would be good at picking one.
Well, it's not that I'm bad at picking them. It's just that like I think that all the conventional rules for what makes a good watermelon are actually wrong. And they don't actually hold up. So it's like very superstitious. So it's really just about the thrill of the gamble.
Yeah, that makes me feel better that I don't know how to pick a watermelon. Oh. Because if even the man who loves watermelon the most out of every man on earth, you know, then I'm fine. I'm off the hook.
I think that I am an exceptionally good watermelon picker.
Oh my God.
I keep on saying watermelon picker. I'm not picking watermelon. I'm choosing a watermelon. I'm good at choosing a nice, ripe, crispity, crunchity, not mealy.
Okay, tell us.
Because I think the floor for watermelon's kind of low.
Yes.
I think when you get like a bland, mealy one,
yes.
like there, it's actually horrible.
Yeah.
And it's like white inside.
Yeah. It's horrible. Yeah. I subscribe to a few of the beliefs. I gave up on the whole like tap, tap, tap hollow sound thing. I mean, that seems totally useless.
It's
to
like
me.
Finding a stud.
Yeah. It's like exactly. Just knocking on the wall hoping to find the stud. It's not, doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. I do think there is something to, whether it's like a contrast in color or like a very blonde spot on the watermelon, I think indicates that it just sat out on the ground for a long time ripening.
Yeah.
Somebody once said like if it's got like those kind of like little scratches on it and like scars, it means that like, you know, bugs tried to eat it because it had a high sugar content, whatever. I don't know. But I do think that if it feels heavy, if you have like two watermelons at the store of like equal diameter, but one feels particularly heavy, I do think it works.
A dense.
And I feel like I'm pretty good at it.
That's my rule for everything, like the heaviness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my wife's rule in choosing a husband. So... John and Rachel, seedless watermelon, is it an unnatural desecration or mankind's greatest achievement?
Well, it's like, what's natural?
Oh.
You know?
Are you a fan?
I am a fan. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Gabby's texting me that seedless is natural. I don't know if that's an opinion or some sort of half fact, but I don't think that's true.
Well, I think it's just like everything is like breeding. Yeah.
It's just breeding. But you...
Yeah.
Where you stand on this?
I do think seedless is like an amazing thing that exists. And I'm happy to eat a seedless watermelon because it is kind of a bitch to like strain out all the seeds with your teeth or whatever.
I guess it took our rating.
But I think that a seeded watermelon, this is not scientific. I just believe it tastes better.
I think that that's your brain tricking you because it's like, oh my God,
you worked
so,
for it.
So little deliciousness between all these horrible seeds. I have to enjoy it more.
Hmm. I mean, I think it's just like,
do you think that, I might subscribe to this a little bit. I think that seedless maybe is more likely to like have less flavor, like less punchy flavor than the seeded watermelon.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I would never buy a seeded watermelon because... unless I've had a very specific plan to be eating the whole watermelon outside somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, and like spitting them.
Because I don't want to, I can't, what am I going to have, like a little spittoon next to me while I'm eating this watermelon on the couch?
But you can eat swallow a fish with bones in it? Oh yeah, on the couch
maybe. I guess
I could
just swallow them. What, I do eat a fish with bones. When they get that boneless fish though, that's what I know.
That's really a good stuff.
All right, do you guys, if you're buying a watermelon at home, what is your slicing or procedure? How do you typically consume it? Are you cube the thing and just eat it in squares? Are you doing slices and eating the little triangular crescents? What are you guys doing?
Yeah, I'm a crescent person.
Yeah, I cut it in half.
With the rind, you're hand-holding the rind.
Like a pizza.
Yeah.
Like a pizza.
And then I don't know, I eat as much of the rind as I can.
Yeah, me too.
I leave only the barest sliver of
Yeah, I love that.
And then you put it on the doorstep of your squirrel, just to be
able to
get
as a
this
warning. Like this could happen to you.
You're next.
Don't fuck with me. to the barest rind.
I think it's the most fun to eat it in pizza form. I think eating a watermelon in pizza form feels the most natural. But I have been known to, if the watermelon is of manageable size, meaning I think like 10 inches or less in diameter, I will just slice that bad boy in half and then sit there with a spoon.
Wow.
And just go. Ooh, and then like you loosen all of the juice.
It's good
and
for
then,
the juice. Wow. Mm-hmm.
I don't love the juice.
You don't love the juice?
Oh. I don't love the juice.
Watermelon's all juice.
That's relevant.
I like the crunch. I like the wet texture, like the snap of it.
Like if you go to restaurants in Asia, watermelon juice is on the menu more than like anywhere, you know, in America, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I just remember drinking cold watermelon juice on hot Asian days and that being seminal for me. Let's play a game, guys. A different game than Recipe Club. We were trying to find some pop culture references to watermelon, of which there are not that many, at least not that many that aren't just insanely racist and terrible. There's Gallagher, the watermelon smashing racist comedian. There's, I think, Letterman dropping watermelons off of the roof. There are a few movie references to watermelon that I didn't know. But the only one we could really come up with as relevant to modern day society is Harry Styles' hit song, Watermelon Sugar.
The Beyonce erasure, because there's a watermelon reference in Drunken Love.
Excuse me. Yes, there is a watermelon reference in Drunken Love. But I don't have that prepped in front of me. What I do have are some lyrics to Harry Styles' hit song, Watermelon Sugar. And what I would like to play with you two is a little game of complete the lyric.
No way. I can't do this
Do
at
not
all.
Look. No. You have to – if you don't know the lyric, I need you to do your very best to fill in the blank with something that is poetic and meaningful.
Okay.
Who's going to go first? John, how well do you know the song? Do you think you're going to do well?
I've heard it a few times. Yeah.
Rachel, sounds like you're not thinking you're going to do very well.
No.
Okay. Are we ready?
To avoid Harry Styles.
Here's the first lyric. I have three of these. I want more berries – this is for, let's go with John DeBerry.
Okay.
More berries and that summer feeling. It's so blank.
Appealing?
That's good.
Yeah, right?
It's not right. Okay. I want more berries and that summer feeling. It's so wonderful and warm.
Okay.
Rachel.
I prefer John.
Strawberries.
Okay. Yeah.
On a summer evening, baby, you're blank. Strawberries.
Yeah.
On a summer evening, baby, you're
juicy.
Baby, you're juicy. Strawberries on a summer evening, baby, you're the end of June.
That was close.
That was better.
You're pretty close.
June and juicy.
I think that both of us are better.
I know. Harry, call us. We can write better songs.
I get it. I want you guys to collaborate on this last one. I want your belly and that summer feeling getting blank, 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 blank.
Blank, blank.
One, two,
blank.
Three, four.
Yeah. I want your belly and that summer feeling getting blank, 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 blank.
Inside my tummy.
That's good.
So, the way that would go would be, I want your belly and that summer feeling getting inside of my tummy.
Yes.
Is this a song to watermelon?
It's
about a person.
I'm not even going to read the correct one because I think that's better than anything that Harry Styles could have come up with. The new lyrics for Watermelon Sugar are, I want your belly and that summer feeling getting inside of your tummy. Okay, we got quite a few submissions this week from you, our listeners, for different recipes involving watermelon. We had Lazy Watermelon Margarita from Jazz Sykes, Planet Melon from Mitch Hawkins, Watermelon Pickles by David Speca, courtesy of his great aunt Gertrude Risher. Abhishek Gupta, who sent us a recipe from last week, sent in a recipe for Mohabbat Ka Sharbat and a watermelon BLT by Eric Zimmerman. JDB, which one did you choose and why did you choose it?
I picked the Mohabbat Ka Sharbat because it's a drink that I hadn't heard of. So that's something that's kind of rare. And the Roux Zafra syrup was what really kind of sold me on it, because I had no idea what that was either. So it just looked really cool and interesting. And like the milk and watermelon, like it was just, it was kind of a no-brainer for me. And nothing else really popped out at me. And I actually, like, I think this is my favorite recipe on like every level so far of this entire show.
Okay. Well, foreshadowing there. That's narrative tension.
Hi, my name is Abhishek, and this is my recipe for Mohabbat Ka Sharbat. A lot of places where I've lived, including Delhi and Bangalore, both have a significant Muslim population, and Ramadan is a very significant month in the Muslim religion. And during that month, since a lot of the times it also coincides with peak summers or very hot weather in India, post breaking your Ramadan fast, you go and you eat stuff, you drink stuff. This is a recipe that provides like a lot of relief from that. The more common thing to use in this, instead of a simple rose syrup, is also Roux Afza, which is, for 90% of it, it's a rose syrup, but it also has a lot of other ingredients. It has its own history. So a lot of the ingredients there are sort of supposed to be herbal measures to counter the heat. Plus watermelon, which is again like a very popular and very common fruit that you can get in the hot summer months. But I believe the origin of this is from a similar market in Delhi, around the Jama Masjid, which is the major mosque in Delhi, and that's where it originated, and now it's become a sort of common thing across all the evening markets during the Ramadan month. But I'm very, very excited to see what JDB does with his version, given his sort of interests and all as well. I am super excited to see what they've done.
It's colloquially called Mohabbat Ka Sharbat. I'm really sorry.
We're all sorry.
This is the best. Which translates to sherbet of love. Basically, it is a very floral, sweet drink that involves mixing together chilled whole milk, granulated sugar, Roux Afza, which is a rose syrup, fresh watermelon juice, cubed watermelon. You pour that all over ice. You garnish with some beautiful fresh rose petals, and that is the drink. It is, like I said, floral, sweet, refreshing. You know, got a little tiny bit of richness from that milk, but it's a little sherbet of love. John's got his whole pitcher in front of him.
Wow.
So that is the original version, and I do highly encourage you all to make that. You can find it on our Discord channel or, I don't know, somewhere else where we put these things. But as is always the case on Recipe Club, we are never satisfied just to do things by the book. So we all take a spin on this thing. The Wheel of Death, which has a number of different constraints and restrictions under which each of us would have to make this recipe. When we spun it a couple of weeks ago, John landed on Lux, meaning he had to take this recipe that Abhishek sent in and Lux it up, spend between $100 and $300 on the ingredients and try to, you know, elevate this or sophisticate it or
complicate.
I landed on the double taxation square of this pie, meaning that John and Dave assigned me two constraints. I had to make one of the ingredients by hand from scratch, and I also had to fuse this recipe with the cuisine and culture of just the cuisine, not the culture of Mexico. I did not involve the culture of Mexico. I did not invoke that. And when Dave took his spin, which we have passed over to Rachel here, he landed on under 20 minutes. So his assignment was just to make this fresh watermelon drink in under 20 minutes. Let's talk about how this went for everybody. Rachel, since I think yours was probably or is the most directly in line with the original, why don't you talk about your process first?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's much to say. It was under 20 minutes. We set the timer. Conveniently, Gabby had laid out all the ingredients for me, so should I have not said that?
No, it's fine. Gabby doesn't do that for me.
So that helped. And I used there's bottled watermelon juice at the grocery store, I guess. So this was like simply watermelon, but it was not simply watermelon. It was watermelon and lemon juice and I think one other juice that I'm forgetting, like small amounts of that.
It was extremely not simply watermelon.
It was not simply watermelon. It was also juice. Yes.
Lemon
maybe
juice.
For color. Yeah. And it was really thin. It was almost like a lemonade, which you don't really expect from like a simply watermelon. And it smelled weird.
It smelled pretty weird.
It smelled cheesy. It smelled kind
Today's episode is brought to you by Simply Watermelon Juice. If you're looking for that cheesy summer flavor, look no further than Simply Watermelon's unique blend of
Gouda, fine.
Watermelon, and lime.
But it smelled a little bit like an armpit, a little bit. But I just followed the recipe just pretty much exactly. It took me 7 minutes. Use lactose-free milk just to spare myself gastrointestinal distress. Although I did then try Chris's version, which had lactose in it. I'm fine. I'm doing fine, guys. But yeah, I thought it was delicious. Even with that bottled watermelon juice, it just tasted like candy, honestly. It looked like Pepto-Bismol. It tasted like candy. It sort of... In drink form, it took away the like strong flavor of rose and mm-hmm. watermelon both, and it kind of just like they melded into this like vague candy flavor, which I thought was really good.
I actually hadn't made the original before I tasted yours. I mean, I will make it for the videos, but then we gave you some of like fresh squeezed watermelon juice, and this is like super delightful.
Yeah,
this is a really.
I mean, especially if you use fresh squeezed and not. A bottled version. The bottled version. It was like, it's like when you make a margarita with bottled stuff. It's just not, it's fine, but it's not that good.
I'm sure if John had written this recipe, there's like some streamlining to do in the process here. The units are crazy. It's 500 milliliters of chilled milk and then a quarter cup of sugar.
But that's also,
whatever.
It's like margarita sangria.
Margarita sangria all over again. But I was thinking, you know, there's like, water you add for like dilution mm-hmm. and like there's a few different things here. I think this being super cold is really important. Yeah. Like this is a drink that has to be like super chilly. John, what would you think of rather than using ice cubes at all and just tossing in those little watermelon chunks? Like, could you just like freeze little chunks of watermelon and use that for your floaty coldness? Or do you think that would?
Yeah, you could. It's just the thing with water is that it's really good at conducting the heat away from whatever. It's next to, so the solid watermelon might chill more slowly than the ice, but I also think that this is a drink that needs a dilution, so I think it's like cutting out the water I don't think will make it better. I think it's just, you could just add more watermelon juice maybe, or more milk if that's your thing, but or you could make like watermelon ice with just like dyeing the water with a little watermelon juice just to make it. Or freeze the rose petals into the ice.
Rose petals. Yeah, yes.
Man, this guy. Okay, freezing rose petals into the ice. God damn, that sounds really good. All right, I'm going to save John for last because I think, you know, John is going to have all sorts of things. Mine is like a pretty simple adjustment to the original recipe. This was the chillest double taxation of all time because there was like a very clear ingredient for me to make by hand. I wasn't going to make granulated sugar
grow
from
a watermelon.
Hand. I wasn't going to grow a watermelon and I wasn't going to. Like I wasn't going to milk my cow for you guys. I do that every morning anyway, just for my own milk. Hey, what do you think your milk limit is?
Like a flat white.
Oh, a flat white is your limit?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. I can do a flat white. I chose the rose syrup to be my handmade component, which was convenient for me. This I actually really liked this double taxation because it took this in a direction that wasn't forced. It wasn't anything kooky or insane. I'm not a huge fan of rose flavor anyway. I just don't like it. I think that especially like when it's super unnatural tasting, it's just very perfumey and I can't really deal with it. So I combined the fact that I was going to make the handmade syrup with my constraint to make this, you know, Mexican flavor. So instead of making a rose syrup, I made a hibiscus syrup. A Mexican Jamaica syrup, basically. So in like a quart of water, I steeped two big fat handfuls of dried hibiscus flowers. I'd never made this before. I'd never worked with Jamaica, but I wanted to make sure I wasn't being timid about it. I feel like I've been timid with these types of things before, and I just wanted to go for it. It took no time at all for this water to become just deep magenta pink, and incredibly tart. Mm-hmm. Like that is the sort of signature of Jamaica, is like it's very, very, very tart, which gave me pause for half a second until I remembered, oh, this has to become an insanely sweet syrup. So I strained all those flowers out right away. It was a very tart, beautiful colored thing. And then I added just, I don't know, equal parts sugar to water, just a ton of sugar. It just, every time I kept adding, it would dissolve and I would taste it and it could take a little bit more, So lots and lots and lots of sugar. This was a really, really, really nice Jamaica syrup, I have to say. It was beautiful and fragrant and tart, and I liked it a lot more. I tasted the Rue Afza. I liked this syrup a lot more. The one thing I did just for shits and giggles was I noticed that the syrup is like very viscous. You know, it's almost like a maple syrup or something. So I did blend in a little bit of xanthan gum just because I thought like, oh, let's make the syrup look like the syrup. So it came out. It was a nice, like very, a nice replacement. So I was happy with that. I made the recipe exactly as directed. And here's where I ran into my first round of trouble. The pictures of this dish are of like a kind of beautiful, kind of like pastel pink. Mm-hmm. I would say the color is between like the rose syrup and the watermelon juice and the milk. I mixed in my hibiscus syrup and my watermelon juice and my milk, and it looked like I had pureed a Pokemon. It was just like the most weird purple, like it was like it was like the part of Grimace's body that are covered with clothes and don't get
Grimace
any sun.
Viscera.
It was just like Grimace viscera. It was like Grimace's untanned baby body. It was just like a weird light purple color that was like, it was like Nardo purple. It was Grimace like the color percent. Of an Audi. I did not, I was like not super stoked on this color. I did forego using that Simply Watermelon juice because I had seen all of those different juice additives in there. And so I made a super quick, just like blended together watermelon and then strained it through a colander, cheesecloth. I didn't use cheesecloth yesterday. I did it today. So that was like the first one. And I was like, oh, this tastes okay. It needed a lot more of the hibiscus syrup than the rose syrup, I think, just because like rose a little goes a long way. Mm-hmm. So I made that version, and the other thing that started to happen is that because that Jamaica syrup is so acidic, adding it to milk sort of like instantly curdled this thing into just like chunk town. It was like funky chunky.
It's like so, you blended the Pokemon, like, not with like a Vitamix, but with like a vintage.
With like a Nutribullet.
Yeah.
With like an Oster blender. I Oster blended what's the correct Pokemon, Gabby? What's the purple Pokemon that does whatever? She doesn't know. I made it again with, I think I made another adjustment. I think I used a little less milk and it was still like the curdle problem. Eventually, I just gave up the ghost on the milk because it was not going to work with this thing. I thought, oh, maybe if I use like a nut milk or something, it'd be fine.
Oh,
but
what
like
about condensed milk?
Condensed milk might have like probably would have worked a little bit better, but this was like really sweet too.
Yeah.
So where I finally landed was basically just the watermelon juice, and the Jamaica syrup, and none of the milk, and it was, I think, incredibly refreshing and delicious. It was it was like somewhere between this Mohabbat Kasharbat and an agua fresca. It was really, really delicious. It was a little tart. I think just finding the right balance between, you know, like not letting that Jamaica overpower the watermelon was a little tricky, but I thought it was really, really good. I made one for Rachel today. I think it turned out pretty well.
It was really good.
So that was it. That was my fusion handmade version of the cocktail. I will say, when I drank one last night, I was like, I'm going to use a little tequila. It would make this pretty good, too.
That would make it more Mexican.
Yeah, it might make it a little tastier. So that's it. That's my version. That's two of our three variations. JDB, again, I think you had the tallest order here, elevating this thing. But at the same time, could this be any more in your wheelhouse?
No. No, it was kind of like perfectly. It was a perfect storm. So when I got this, when we got the Wheel of Death landed on Lux, we were thinking about the watermelon because there's those really expensive square Japanese watermelons. And so I spent a lot of time looking to see if you could get them. And you actually, like, you could barely get them in Japan. Like, they're just like, they're basically ornamental and like, they're not for consumption. And so I basically would have needed to like have go to Japan and get one and smuggle it back. Probably gotten in trouble with like Department of Agriculture or something.
If people don't know, these square watermelons, basically they grow them in a box to like constrict the growth so that the watermelon has to form this perfect square shape. They're totally bizarre looking.
Like a bonsai kitten.
Do you guys feel, I know that watermelon are not sentient beings.
It feels cruel.
Kind of bad. Doesn't it feel cruel to this watermelon?
No, but actually, you don't want to know what would make you feel worse about this actually is that the reason why people buy them, this is according to some websites, so it's not, I don't know how totally legit this is, but apparently it's like when it's super hot out, offices will buy them so that the people in the office will feel like, oh, there's like a watermelon in the office and it's like more refreshing. So it motivates people to work harder through the heat of like the scalding, humid Japanese summer.
It's like a seasonal affective disorder, like watermelon.
It's like an emotional support watermelon.
The shape is so that it sits on a desk.
Yes.
So they can sit on like a reception desk without rolling off.
Yes.
That's
like a computer.
That's like the most Japanese thing I've
ever
heard.
Wait, but actually I remember like in America, they used to do shaped watermelons into the shapes of like faces. You can find watermelons that are like grown into like human faces.
Gross.
This was maybe like a mid-century thing.
That's the grossest thing I've ever heard.
But they're pretty.
That's heebie-jeebie style.
Yeah. We should find some pictures because they're good.
Face fruit. So anyway, I couldn't find fancy watermelon. So I gave up on the watermelon. So the next stop was to find ways to make this roux offer syrup like way more complicated than it needed to be. So went to Kalustian's, got the syrup, tasted it. And when I first tasted it, it kind of tasted like a little bit like blue cheese. Like there's this sort of like interesting, like kind of Stilton-y flavor. And I realized that that's actually, if you look at their ingredients list, there's something called a screw pine. And that'll come into play later. So I basically was like, okay, I'm going to make a really, really expensive version of this syrup. So I went back to Kalustian's. I looked at all the, there were a couple of links that we had that were like how to make your own rose syrup. And it basically just was like rose petals and sugar, but there were some additional ingredients listed. So I was like, well, like, let's just throw all these ingredients in there. So I got borage, rose, coriander, hibiscus, orange flower petals, spinach powder, rosemary, grape skins, black cherry powder, sour cherry powder, lily flower, grape sugar, saffron, the screw pine, otherwise known as Kura water, and vetiver, which is another kind of like apostolic kind of churchy thing. Put all those together into a pot to like get them to like steep and like just really to soak in and make this like syrup. I let that kind of like, I don't know, like fulminate in the refrigerator for a while. And then I added pineapple juice, orange juice, so much sugar. I found grape sugar, which costs like $10 for a pound. So made that more expensive. Fresh blackberries, fresh raspberries, fresh strawberries, and then some carrots. And then I let all that macerate in. I let all the fruit, like the whole fruit, like macerate, let that sort of reduce down, immersion blendered it, and then passed it through like an array of like four coffee filters, you know, the gold coffee filters, and overnight, because it just took so long, it was so thick. So I ended up making a roux offre syrup that cost $124.02.
Oh my god. But also, what did that taste like?
It tastes
that
so
sounds
good.
Nuts.
It's so delicious. Oh, it's like god. Really, really, really tasty. And so the yield on that was about 1,800 grams. So there's like about 7 cents per gram on the yield. And then I thought another way of making this drink really expensive is to buy really expensive water. So there's this website. There's this website called aquamaestro.com that I found out about because my dad's wife is Romanian and she has this like amazing like Romanian sparkling water that is like so hard to find. It's so delicious. It's like comes in this 1.5 liter bottles. And so I had to find it. And I found this like boutique water supplier called Aqua Maestro. And I just like sort by price found Canadian iceberg water. That was like $25 a bottle.
Oh my gosh.
Like, wait, so water that has been harvested from a Canadian iceberg.
Yes.
That's so sad. Did it melt naturally?
Like climate change water.
Yeah.
I know that's fucked up if they melted it.
Rachel only eats beef that has died of natural causes and only drinks water that has been melted of natural climate change.
Yeah.
So very expensive water.
It's a very, very expensive water
syrup. Hey, wait, really quick. That process that you just talked about, though, of just sort of like finding all these kind of botanicals and aromatics and mixing them all together, like this, like I imagine harkens back to like the early days of Proto, right? Like
is the early days of Proto, but also this is what I did for Momofuku forever, because I would have to basically, before we had this like massive software system that did all the costing for us, I had all these spreadsheets of like, how much is it per bottle and how much is it per ounce and how much is in the recipe and then just costing everything out. So I actually have next to me on my computer is like this huge spreadsheet of like the yields and the price per ounce and the, you know, how much is in the recipe and then the extended cost and I'll add it up. So it's like this huge thing. I can just play around with it. And if it's like, oh, I'm going to add more saffron, it just like adds more to the recipe.
Wow.
So I made $4 ice cubes that were $4 each. Because I made these I had this like big ice cube tray, like they're double size. So rather than 20 to 25 ice cubes, I used 12. And then I ended up using about, I used more than 12. Yeah, it was about, so the actual drink itself, I know that the cost on the receipt had to be more than 100 and less than 300s, but I was trying to get like this to be somewhere in the hundreds. I didn't get up to that point, but I got $8.4 of the Ruafsa syrup, $45.24 of the ice, $19.44 of water, $2.50 in roses, $1.50 of watermelon, and then $2.38 of like fancy gentrified milk that I found at the farmer's market for $79.45. And it's the most delicious thing I've ever drank in my entire life. So
What are we right now? Who are we in history and culture? This group of people who are drinking $45 ice.
This is like some Hunger Games capital shit.
I know it is.
This is some Hunger Games crap capital shit, right? Like that's who we are. Yes. Just like the people in Area 12 are just like scraping together squirrel meat, you know, fighting their squirrels for avocados. And meanwhile, we're sipping on $45 ice cubes. John, how much is that drink? How much does one glass of that go for if you serve it at the restaurants?
Oh, let me do some math.
I love this so much.
It was $40.
Damn.
Per glass. No alcohol.
That's a $40 non-alcoholic summer chiller. Last thing though, did you find a really nice watermelon? Did you get a good watermelon?
I got a nice watermelon, but it was from Trader Joe's. It wasn't super expensive.
Okay. And did you juice the watermelon or what did you do for the juice?
I juiced the watermelon, and then I made little cubes and then just like weighed them and then just like did the yield.
Wow.
All right. That's a $45 glass of summer.
Wow.
Some Spotify exec has decided to tune into this episode. Just like, what the hell are these guys doing with our money?
I mean, if it's an executive, they're probably like, I'll have what he's having. I don't want to give money to writers.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Three very different variations on the original recipe from Abhishek, Mohabbat Ka Sharbat. I highly encourage you to make any of these. I think that the takeaway for me is that, Rachel, you basically made this by the book.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could have made the watermelon juice
and been way under 20 minutes.
Like, this is easy peasy.
I didn't have an apron.
You didn't have an apron, Gabby. And I think that, like, I'm super happy this gave me an opportunity to play around with Jamaica. I really think this, like, little slight tartness to that fusion version was really nice. And obviously, I think John's, your sound's so insane. Without the ice cubes, though, like, that drink is not $45, right? That, like, making that syrup, probably you can do a lot with that.
If I was using this ingredient as a cocktail ingredient in a restaurant, like, the fact that it's like 7 cents per gram isn't that bad. Because I put,
but,
like,
it's so many things.
Yeah,
it's so
that's
many.
That's why, like, monks did it back then.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would probably streamline it a little bit, you know, just for the sake of whoever's prepping it.
What would you call it? What do you call it? Your essence, your new essence.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like, so for me, when I tasted the Ruafsa, like, from the bottle, like the screw pine, it was basically like screw pine and rose. And so I wanted to be able to, like, accurately, you know, kind of reflect that flavor, and also just the fact that it's super, super sweet. So I don't know if I would call it Ruafsa myself. I feel like it's fairly faithful to what all the sort of the sort of interpolation of all the ingredients of all the recipes that I saw online for it. So I don't know. I like saying screw pine. So maybe I'd call it some screw pine syrup. And then people would order it because they want to be able to say screw pine. So they'd pay $40 for it.
Mm-hmm. Those were the three variations. Our producers in the booth today are Gabby, Corey, and Victoria. They are going to deliberate in coming up with a first, second, and third place medals for today's three different efforts. While they are deliberating, let me give you all a quick update on the scores. Right now, there's a three-way tie, JDB, since the last time you were on
here. Wow.
Two of your competitors have climbed up to nip at your heels. In a three-way tie for first place are you, Priya Krishna, and Brian Ford with 9.25 points. Holding sole possession of fourth place now is David Chang with 9.07.
Oh, he dropped.
He did, and he's been a real good sport about it. And
we changed the rules,
Rachel. Yeah, it's a joke. Rachel, he's at 9.07. Rachel is in fifth place with 9.00. And I am in last place with 8.75. Gabby, what do you got for this week's first, second, third place?
Well, I think everyone did a really good job this week. Rachel, we're going to give you third place. You did really good. You did the whole recipe properly.
That's what I get.
You did it.
Chris is in second place this week for going outside of his comfort zone. And JDB, you're in first.
I think all things being, I think all things considered, that feels probably correct.
Yeah.
Right?
Except for that your drink curdled and mine didn't.
My first attempt at it curdled, and then I continued to refine to perfection, to beverage perfection. Okay, so updated scores. John DeBerry was only in a tie with these scumbags for 1 week. He has since leapt back out in front with a 9.4, which basically means you've won almost every episode you've appeared on. Now in a second place tie, Priya and Brian with 9.25, Dave with 9.07. Rachel and I remain in fifth and sixth place, but I'm creeping we'll up see. On you. I'm creeping. My score went up by 0.01. nothing can get me out of this cellar. You're stuck. I am just, somebody needs to throw me a rope. This sucks down here. So next time we have John on the show, unless we pull John into another episode to stand in for Dave,
please.
Your last featured recipe or featured ingredient of the season is going to be coffee.
Coffee.
So next time it's your turn to pick, next time it's time to play with JDB, he's going to be choosing one of these coffee recipes. You've got tiramisu two ways from Sarah Elzey. Short ribs with chili and coffee by Jill Spinak. Savory coffee from Juan Pacheco. Coffee lover's dream coffee loaf cake from Mary Bennett. And night before no bake biscuit cake and no churn ice cream from Claire.
What is savory coffee?
Savory coffee. I have the same question.
Well, it's in the instructions. It says like, it's like inspired by my family's favorite mole. And then it says at the end, serve it with chicken, side of rice, tortilla. So it looks like it's a mole. It looks really good.
I'm interested in that. Seems interesting. I'm leaning toward the more savory ones.
I have open in my tabs. I have the savory coffee mole and the tiramisu. So I'm kind of a little bit torn. I think I'm going to do the mole actually, because the tiramisu, it's like a high low thing again, and I feel like I've done that. So. Let's do like a mole recipe and then we can just like cook it on, put it on something.
That'll be the next one. I think that, we're not going to have you for that though. That's going to be a Dave Chang thing. I'm so fond of this little configuration.
It's a nice dynamic. I like it.
Okay. Lock him in a closet.
So what we're going to fire him.
Someone just lock him in a closet by accident. Just
lock him in a closet. So, Rachel, why don't you give the wheel a spin for Dave to find his restriction? Round and round we go. Handmade. Okay, whoa. So, John, you've got the recipe in front of you. You were the episode winner. What do you want Dave to make from scratch by hand in this recipe?
Some of the stuff I honestly don't know what it is. How about, can I have him roast the coffee beans?
Yeah, let's have him make the coffee himself. Yes, great, fantastic. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna spin for you, John.
Ooh. Ooh.
That is double taxation.
But wait, I won the episode, so I get to pick.
You did win the episode, so you've got to choose two restrictions to play with here.
What?
While you're thinking about that, I'm gonna give my wheel spin so you can deliberate for a second.
Okay.
Oh, slow cooker. I'll do this in a slow cooker.
Sure.
That's okay, right? All right, slow cooker. All right, what are your two restrictions?
Let's do Lux and
where she fuse it with Rachel.
Jamaican.
It's like a mole. Yeah, Jamaican.
Okay, I'll do that.
Like we'll do a Jamaican fusion.
Yeah, let's
Lux
do it.
Coffee mole. Holy
Lux
crap.
And Jamaican is kind of.
That sounds really good.
That's
okay,
gonna be amazing.
I'm so down.
I think that's gonna be very cool to see. Dave Chang will be roasting his own coffee beans for this coffee mole. John DeBerry will be making a fusion, Jamaican Lux version of the coffee mole. And I'll be making a slow cooker version. I'm gonna do the slow cooker and I'm going to add a little something to it to make it a little bit more than just making this in a slow cooker. But that's it. That is something to look forward to. Thank you to Rachel for playing the role of Dave Chang today. Thank you to John DeBerry, as always, for making the most expensive ice cubes a human could ever imagine.
Wow.
Thank you, the listeners, for sending in your recipes. Continue to do so. We still have a few more episodes this season. I think we're still looking for ube recipes. I think we're still looking for one or two other things. And if you're like, I could do a better job than these bozos, well, then why don't you play along on the Discord and show us, big guy. Thank you all for listening. Please give us 5 stars and we'll talk to you all very soon.